Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to another episode of Serious Issues, a comic book podcast. My name is Levins.
My name is Siobhan.
And we have a limited window in which we can talk about comics before our lives get in the way of our comic book reading and talking about. So let's get into
Man,
it, Siobhan.
Children. Yeah, hello.
Forget about them for half an hour.
Forget
it's about
us.
It. It's about comics. Yeah. First and foremost, you should go and watch a new video that Siobhan put up today on the King's Comics Facebook page, in which she and everyone's favorite King's Comics employee, Scotty, review Black Widow by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. We talked about it last episode, but you guys did a video. How long is it? Like 10 minutes?
Like the YouTube one is like 15 minutes. The Instagram one is like 6 minutes. Cut out a lot of my rambles.
That's great, though. Is that going to be a regular thing you guys are going to do?
Yeah, we're going to try. It involves me getting a lot more competent. And,
you're competent enough.
That sort of stuff.
Stays up short.
Oh, thanks, mate. But yeah, we're gonna try and do those regularly, at least while quarantine's on, and then once things are back to normal, we'll try and do sort of weekly here's the new stuff videos.
So it's King's Comics Reading Club?
King's Comics Quarantine Book Club. No, just King's Quarantine Book Club.
Okay, great.
I'm good at hashtags, is the main thing.
Last month was the Black Widow run. What is the next upcoming one?
I'm thinking Once in Future. That new Kieran Gillen series.
Oh, yeah. I missed out on the first issue of that and then just never read it. Is it good?
Same. I'm about to find out. I just borrowed the trade, so I'm going to read it and then figure out if that's what I'm going to do.
I feel like you're always driven to I better choose something that I already know is good. But why not put yourself out there, read something you've never read for the first time as well?
Well, exactly, and show how truly basic all of my thoughts are. I'm really down on myself this morning. What's going on? It's also the afternoon. I'm really confused.
15-minute YouTube
tired.
Videos will do
happening.
That to you.
Yeah, I'll say.
We're going to talk about some things that we've been reading since we last recorded 2 weeks ago. The most notable thing, I got a lot of messages about it, a lot of people saying, you can do it, Levins. You can do it. You can finish that 307-chapter-long Mahjong manga, Akagi, by Nobuyuki Fukumoto.
And see your children
again.
I did it. Congratulations.
Yep.
How was it?
So it was insane. One of probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever read. Because this is a manga that was started in the very early 90s and didn't... Sorry, the manga itself started in the early 90s. But the first 70-ish chapters... follow this extremely good young Mahjong player called Akagi, and they follow him in his these early games in his career. He's also a criminal, and at one point he blows out a gang member's kneecaps with a gun. It's pretty sweet, and trouble follows him wherever he goes, and it moves at quite a brisk pace for those first 70 chapters, and then you kind of learn that Akagi has kind of a death wish. He wishes to die gambling, basically. And on chapter 70-something, he meets his match, this Japanese war criminal, essentially, who has been bribed or has bribed his way to the top. He, like, almost controls Japan from the shadows, is, like, the way they describe him. And his name is Washizu. And he is in the business of playing mahjong against people who have no will to live. So they basically play with themselves hooked up to a machine that every time he wins against them, they lose more blood. So he plays mahjong against them until they die. And this starts...
What a specific fetish.
Yeah, exactly. So this starts... This arc starts in, like, chapter 70-something. And it goes until chapter 300 and something. This one mahjong game, which would have taken, I don't know, 6 hours, I guess, were you to kind of count the minutes in real time. It started in 1997, this arc, and doesn't get concluded until 2017. 20 years he was writing and drawing this one mahjong arc. And it gets to the point where, like...
It's kind of like performance art.
Yeah, like there's like multiple rounds in each, like... There's like, it's almost like tennis. It's like, you know, game, sets, matches, in mahjong, and in the very, very last round, every time, like, basically before you play one round of mahjong, you have to draw. It's like 12 or 13 tiles that right, you're playing with, and the last few chapters, every draw takes at least one chapter. So just for them to pull one tile out and put into their hand, that was, it's like, it was just so insane. It was still riveting the entire way through. The ending was, like, ridiculously rewarding, and, like, weirdly poetic. At one point, like, both Akagi and Washizu die at one point, and they have, like, extended arcs in hell or, like, in purgatory while they, like, decide whether to come back to continue playing the game. It was insane. It is so good. I don't know a single soul in my life who have or may possibly... I never will. I never will know another person who will read this.
I'm not totally convinced that you didn't just make this up.
It was, like, honestly one of the most ridiculous reading experiences I've ever had. Yeah. If this sounds at all appealing to you and you have Crunchyroll, the anime service, the first 100 chapters were turned into an anime series in the 90s, sorry, early 2000s, and it's really well done, and you'll know by the third episode if this is for you.
So much that, like, this started with you getting into mahjong as, like, a nice thing for your wife.
Yes.
And turned into, like, you just becoming this, like, freaky obsessive with
mahjong. Oh, yeah. And it's the first time that's ever happened with anything in my life. But look, there is an... I know what I'm talking about is a massive, insane commitment. But if you do want to dip your toe in and see, hey, maybe this bizarre ride that Levins was on could be for me too, check out the anime series. It is excellent. And it's on Crunchyroll if you got that. Akagi.
Great.
There's a whole, like, I found, like, a community of people who translate all of Nobuyuki. Am I even saying his name right? It's so hard just remembering all the characters. Yeah, Nobuyuki Fukumoto. They've translated all of his works, pretty much. He has dozens about criminals, lots of gambling manga. And the best thing is he doesn't even like gambling, but he's written like 1,000 manga chapters about gambling and characters who are gamblers.
I think he does like gambling.
Yeah, he's
I think when he says, I don't like gambling, it means I'm obsessed with gambling.
So there's a huge breadth of books by him for me to turn to next, but I'm going to give myself a break, read some slightly more normal things, and then go right the fuck back in.
I like so much that there were so many years where I was like, just read a manga. Just read any manga. Just try something. And now you're like the most dedicated weeb of all time. You're like in forums about translations and like...
It's your fault. You did this to me.
It's my fault. I'm sorry, B.
What have you been reading?
So do you remember that one time that some guy just... brought a big suitcase of old comics into King's and then disappeared?
Do you remember that? Why would I remember that?
So it was... I don't know. I thought you might remember. So it was, like, we were still in King's Pitt Street and he brought in this huge suitcase and it was just, like, most of it was junk, but there was some really good stuff in it and we all just raided it and took what we wanted. And the That's best great. Stuff that I got was Paul Chadwick's... Christ, what's it called? Concrete. Concrete.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really, really great.
You definitely did tell me this story before. Sorry, yeah. Sorry for being rude.
But the other thing I got, which I hadn't read and which I'm now getting stuck into, is this crime series called Ms. Tree. Ms. Mm-hmm. Tree. Like mystery, but Ms. And she's a female, a sexy, sassy PI called Michael Tree. And the first arc is about her husband, who's also called Michael Tree, getting whacked on their honeymoon.
Wow.
And it just sort of, and so it's all about her trying to take down the mob for killing her husband, essentially. And it's written by Max Collins with art by Terry Beattie. I think that they're British. It's like a late 70s, early 80s crime series.
So, and it came out through... I have a few comics by this publisher, Renegade.
Okay. What else have they published?
What have I got? I think I have like a bunch of like annuals where it's like a bunch of their stories together.
Yeah.
In fact, the comics are probably called Renegade. But yeah, Renegade Press. It was an American comic book company.
Yeah. I know nothing. I just reckoned it was British.
then biggest titles were Flaming Carrot by Bob Burden, Ms. Tree, and then Normal Man by Jim Valentino, which was a spin-off.
Cool.
It started in Cerebus.
Crazy. Okay, right. But so like it's quite cool. It's quite interesting. A lot of the stuff in it is quite dated, and almost every arc she sleeps with some man who then turns out to be the master criminal, which is quite funny. And she's got a really ludicrous hairstyle. But that's about all I've been reading.
That's cool.
Good,
Renegade Press. Yeah, I think I have an issue of the Flaming Carrot because it's just I was like, yeah, I'm definitely taking this. It looks weird as hell.
That's the only one I've heard of.
And it was founded in 1984 in Long Beach, California, and it went defunct in 1989. And it was started by Denise Lobert.
Cool.
And she is the ex-wife of Dave Sim, who wrote Cerebus.
There you go.
And she probably has seen more hell than any of us on this earth.
He does seem to hate women. I haven't ever read Cerebus, but that's what I've heard on the grapevine.
That's the rumors. So that's all you've been reading? Nonstop Mystery?
That's all I've been reading. Only other thing I'm reading is Villette by Charlotte Bronte, but I don't think... But that's a real book, and so not what we're discussing. And also I sound smug when I say that. But it's a good book.
Gross. No pictures. I bought Dune the other day because I was like, one day I should read Dune, and then I got it and like I read like the first paragraph and I was like, oh man, am I ever gonna read this?
But it's for like 13-year-old boys who think that they're real special, right?
That sounds like me. So I finally read a book that I got last year by a writer and artist that we talk about a lot on the podcast, and his name is Jeff Lemire. Maybe you've heard of him. He's the writer of such things as, you know, when like you like, I know everything this guy's done, and then you're like, okay, now name one thing, and you can't think of anything.
Yeah, for sure. And Jeff Lemire has written so much that it's kind of difficult to remember everything that like he has or hasn't written.
Yeah,
but, like,
of course.
I guess Sweet Tooth. Black Hammer.
Yeah, of course. And then these creator-owned stuff like Essex County, The Underwater Welder. There was that really, really great one, Roughneck, that came out a couple of years
ago. Yeah.
Obviously he does a lot of... He's written for almost every publisher today. I'm sure you have, you know, a superhero. He even did an X-Men run that no one ever talks about.
His Valiant, his Bloodshot run.
Yeah, very so good. Great stuff for Dark Horse, for DC, for Marvel. His Animal Man, of course, being very celebrated. Heaps of his creator-owned stuff is in development for TV series, like 10 things, like Descender, AD After Death, that he did with Scott, what's his name?
Snyder.
Scott Snyder. Essex County, The Underwater Welder, Platona, Gideon Falls, I love that one, and Black Hammer.
Yeah.
They're all being developed for TV or movies at the moment.
Gideon Falls would make a great TV show.
Yes, definitely.
It's a perfect comic, but it would make a great TV show.
But last year, Simon & Schuster, who don't typically publish many comics, they do distribute them through, like, I think they distribute Viz in the Western world, they published a graphic novel that he drew and wrote called Frog Catchers, And it is the scratchiest, like, roughest pencils I've ever seen in a Lemire book before. A dude, you know, quite well known for his rough pencil work.
And lovely, though.
He's lettered it himself, too. And it's very, very, like really sketchy, like, just, like, handwriting. It feels like I actually bought the first comic he ever wrote, which he tried to finish in, like, it was like a 36-hour comic book challenge. I don't know what that's called. Mm-hmm. I have it on. I'm like, keep looking behind me because I know it's on a shelf. I think I have two copies of it. I may have given it to you.
First, what's it called? Something.
Jeff
Lemire.
Something
about being underwater or something about dogs.
No, that's the underwater world.
That's my guess. Because I feel like there's a lot of underwater stuff in that one too. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going to find it. It's going to be here. Early work. Here it is. Come on. Lost Dogs. That's the one.
I said it was about dogs. Ha, I'm a genius. Lost Dogs.
It's a very grim, kind of like feels like he's writing it as he goes along. And he was. Mm-hmm. And this has that same energy, but then it wraps itself up very neatly at the end. It is about a man who may be dying, who wakes up in a strange room, where basically a hotel room, and when he leaves the hotel room, he finds a key, and the key is to a door that has a frog nailed to it, a dead frog, and so he walks away and gets into an elevator where he finds a boy in it, who basically is telling him about, like, the king, the frog king, and that they need to escape the frog king. So there are elements of this, like, bizarre kind of Twilight Zone horror kind of story, but then because it's Jeff Lemire, it's actually about death and depression and sadness.
Classic Lemire.
I definitely liked
it.
Sounds
good, though.
I love looking at his art. I think his art has never looked better than that AD After Death book he did with Scott Snyder, which mm-hmm. is, because of that art, it's easily my favorite Scott Snyder book. I'm sure a lot of Lemire fans kind of wrote that book off because it wasn't written by Lemire, but it's absolutely worth reading. It's really good. This is, yeah, like, you know, it's that typical kind of Jeff Lemire style of misery that's somehow sweet. And the very rough pencil work, I think, is kind of fun to read. Like, there is a franticness to this book that, where it there's an urgency to it through the art and through the writing, where it's a kind of pretty brisk read, but I definitely wouldn't recommend it over, like, almost every other Lemire book I've read.
I was just thinking about I really recommend Royal City.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Like, that ended and it just completely went out of my brain, but man, what a great series.
Yeah, it was like a 15 issue Image series he wrote and drew a couple years ago, that had a lot of ties to, like, indie rock in the 90s. It was great. That's
really good.
This is very much in line.
But it was also about death and depression.
Of course.
And families.
This is very much in line with, like, Essex County, Underwater Welder, and Sweet Tooth, even. In that it's like a sad story about old men, dying old men. Definitely worth checking out. And a unique release from Simon & Schuster. It's just crazy how many books this dude puts out. He's got to be one of the most prolific writers working today.
Or have, like, an army of monkeys at typewriters or whatever. There's something suspicious going on.
That's right.
There's too many Jeff Lemire books, and they're all too good. I don't trust it.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I don't think I've read... there's definitely... I didn't like Platona very much, that book that he did with Emmy Lennox. It was like a...
It had so much potential and then kind of fizzled.
That's right. Yeah, I really loved the early issues, but then I didn't love the way it paid off. But, like, even still, I would still kind of recommend it. It's fun.
Yeah.
Emmy Lennox is
art. Same with Trillium.
Beautiful. I never finished Trillium. Best first issue ever. Like, where it was two stories, where one's, if you read it from the front, there's one story of one character meeting another character who, if you flip the book and read from the back, you read their origin story too, and then they both meet in the middle. Very cool and unique.
Good fun.
Yeah. So those are the books that I've been reading. At some point in the future, I will give you an exhaustive guide to all of the Shonen Jump series that I'm currently keeping up with.
Yeah.
Because there's
how many?
More than 10 of them. I think you would really love a book called Spy Family, which is pretty
sounds cute.
New. It's about a spy who has to infiltrate a school in order to get to one of the students' parents, who is, like, basically like an underworld figure who he needs to try and bring down in order to stop World War III. And so to do that, he has to adopt a daughter, and find someone to fake being his wife. So he hires an assassin to be his wife and unknowingly adopts a telepath for a daughter. Then they buy a dog.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Then they buy a dog who can see the future.
Great.
But only the daughter can read the dog's mind to see that he can see the future.
Okay, this does actually sound completely genius. I need to find
It's
out.
Great. It's like done as a comedy. So there are level, like there's cute moments, there's fun action moments. It's written and drawn by Tatsuya Endo, and it's on the Shonen Jump app, which I talk about a lot. It's like $2.99 in the US, or maybe $2.99 here. It's like $3 or $4 a month to read.
I have my friends log in
their entire library. You don't have an iPad. I understand. So like reading that on a phone or a laptop is not as fun as reading it on an iPad. It's pretty crucial to your enjoyment of it. Okay. There's like a Nintendo Switch app for reading comics and manga, which I just can't imagine reading comics on that little screen or on your TV. I don't know. That's weird. Get an iPad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I even have an iPad and what? I hated it so much. It's like in a cupboard somewhere.
No, find it. Find it so you can read Spy Family. You'd love it. You can read it in bed without disturbing your partner who wants to sleep. That's how I read all the manga. I read it instead of sleeping. That's my secret.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction. And free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So we're going to try and do more episodes of Serious Issues every 2 weeks or so, with less emphasis on us reading all the comics in the universe like we used to do, and a lot more emphasis on us, you know, talking about comics that we've already read and comics that we're looking forward to in the future, plus taking comments from you and questions from you via our Facebook group, which you can join at facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast. I did a call out for questions today, and we got quite a few. So let's try and get through a couple now over the next 10 minutes. What do you say, Shinbone?
Let's do it.
So Alex Funder asks, could you spend some time talking about complete runs that you've enjoyed start to finish? I read Why the Last Man during this downtime, and it was so satisfying.
I mean, that's a great pick for something that ends in a very satisfying, if depressing, way.
Yeah, that's a gut punch, that second last issue of that. That is still like the kind of... I think Saga is... I probably like more than that in terms of Brian K. Vaughan's comics back catalogue. I'm a massive fan of his Runaways run, which I guess you could, you could include as a complete run. But like, yeah, I mean, after I read Why the Last Man, I got everything he'd ever done. And while it's still pretty fun, I wouldn't totally recommend Ex Machina in the same way as Why the Last Man.
Yeah, but it is being reprinted, so it's a good time to read
it. Buy it from kingscomics.com.
Buy it from kingscomics.com. Also, I think they're making like a TV series of it, or a movie or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably. And Jeff Lemire's probably
involved.
Seems
more filmable than Saga. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think complete runs, like, I'm notorious for just dropping off things
you really are.
A couple of months before they're finished. But I think that a lot of the time with, like, superhero comics that are within a shared universe and a shared continuity, it's quite difficult to close things out in a way that's satisfying, because you need to retain some kind of status quo for the next writer to come in and play with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a couple of examples of ones that are really good, just off the top of my head, would be, like, Hickman's Avengers. Well, Hickman, like, Hickman's kind of Marvel Universe stuff.
From in particular, his Avengers and New Avengers stuff and the Fantastic Four. Like, those two runs are, like, two of the most perfect superhero comic book runs. And I was looking forward
and
to him
going
doing...
into Secret Wars.
Yeah, oh my God.
The way
best.
That it all closed out was so, like... And he'd obviously planned that... I mean, I don't know how much he planned it, but I think he had planned on some level where he was going to get to, and that's why it was able to close out successfully.
Reading that week to week, I remember there were some issues where I'm like, where is he going with this? I don't know if I like
what
this run anymore.
What are you talking about, Hickman?
Yeah,
and you then idiot.
Just paid off so well.
Yeah,
that they're two of the best that I think everyone should read. I think most listeners to our podcast have read one, if not both of those. I was really looking forward to his X-Men run doing the same thing, but I think, I don't know, I mean, it's it, obviously the pandemic has caused a lot of ongoing runs to feel strange. I don't know how I feel about the concept of a single issue of a comic at the moment, because I haven't been able to, like, get my hands on a new one in, like, 4 months.
Oh, I'm gonna lose my mind when I smell that delicious paper.
What, I mean, do you know, I know Marvel are gonna start publishing comics again, right? But
yeah, so the secret, what we have been told, and I'm not really like we haven't officially announced this because there's still so much like potential for it to change, but apparently we're going to get our first shipment of new comics on May 20th.
Oh, crazy. So sooner than you think.
So that's like coming up, and we just sort of wait and see.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
unreal. Hopefully, fingers crossed, because I miss... it's been really nice being able to, like, go back and read some of my things on the shelf that I hadn't got to, or, like, reread some favourite things, but I am looking forward to getting my weekly nonsense fix.
Yeah, no, that is... I think when I do go back, I am going to, like, yeah, just have, like, 2-3 series that I try and keep up with week to week. But you watch me just go right back in, and I'm like, oh yeah, I really missed this. I'm gonna read everything again. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But back to complete runs, just some quick ones off the top of my head. A lot of the 90s, early 2000s Vertigo stuff I love. 100 Bullets is one of my all-time favorite runs. Brubaker's and Sean Phillips' entire Criminal run. Also Brubaker and Greg Rucka's Gotham Central. And and 52. The big DC collaborative effort with Grant Morrison, Mark Waid, Greg Rucka, and Geoff Johns. Maybe my favorite DC long-running series. That's
it's
excellent.
It's pretty... I have so much nostalgia for it, but it is pretty great. I would also say the Fade Out, Brubaker and Phillips series about like the Golden Age of Hollywood.
That was excellent.
Nate was rereading that recently, and I'm just like, man, it's just so good.
I mean, everything
so
Brubaker and Phillips has ever done. I mean, Brubaker is just especially good at long runs. Like, his Catwoman run is so good. And
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll keep adding to that list as we continue recording over the next few weeks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Brian Stafford says, what are three comics, full series, or story arcs that every comic fan needs to read before they die, and your respective opinions? Okay, I'm going to start. You get 10 seconds to do this. Okay, Siobhan, you ready?
Okay. All right.
I'll go, you go first.
Fuck.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. One Piece, Bone, and... 10 seconds is up.
10 seconds is up, mate.
Criminal. New Frontier.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, see, I was going to say New Frontier. New Frontier was the only one I felt secure about. I'm going to say New Frontier, Mouse, and Astro Boy.
Oh, very good.
But I hate that question.
I hate that question, and I change my answer every time I answer it.
I love you, Brian, but I hate that question.
He also asked, what are some other X-Men characters besides Shatterstar and Gold Balls that Siobhan would potentially name a hypothetical next child?
An incredibly hypothetical next child. If anyone who has children comes out of this, like, comes out of this pandemic being like, I want more children. You're insane. And you obviously have nannies. I was very disappointed Elon that Musk. I was really disappointed that no one would let me refer to Goldballs as Glob Herman, because I think that's one of the best, funniest character names of all time.
Yeah, definitely.
But everyone thought that was too rude to call my child. But I think it's actually quite a good name for, like, a fetus.
What about Marrow?
Beak.
Beak. Jake Fortier asks, what are some comics or manga that made you rethink the limits of the media? Comics or manga that wowed you with how they use the medium to tell their stories? I mean, I already mentioned it, but when I first read One Piece, after hearing so many people just say, it's like, you will, no one in this world will enjoy it more than you, Levins, you have to read it. Like, that was what clicked, where I was like, oh no, this is by far my favorite form of media ever. Like, just this, like, incredibly long form, 20 page burst of crazy adventure with, like, really heightened characters and silliness and action. That's when I realized that that would be all I read and watch and intake for the rest of my life.
I think for me, maybe it was, like, I feel like I could think of much cooler examples, but, like, Wednesday Comics, when that first came out, and I was working at King's and they were printing it in the big, like, newspaper format. I just thought that was so cool. I'd never seen anything like that. I thought it was so much fun. And I think it still really holds up, doing these big kind of one-page stories that, you know, you get a little dose of every week. What a delight that comic was.
Yeah, and I mean, in a similar kind of format, but a completely different kind of comic, is the first time I ever got an issue of 8-Ball by Dan Clowes.
Yeah.
Which is like an anthology comic written and drawn by the one very angry, American cartoonist. I remember, like, reading that as a teenager. I was like, this is as good as art gets.
Yeah. Similarly, like, the thing that the project that Rod Wimberly is doing at the moment, Laab, LAAB, which is his kind of newspaper, and so it's, like, got comics and articles and, like, just everything that you could want Ron and his friends to kind of talk about. That's incredible. That's really, really great. And I think that's really doing interesting things with, like, the medium and the form, and the way he's playing around with it is really, really delightful and really thought-provoking. And I really, like, it's an expensive thing to ship to Australia, but if you have the chance, I think it's also available through Diamond now, so maybe we'll be able to stock it at King's. But that's super worthwhile tracking down, and it's easy to track down in the States.
Wayne, you described him in your video as the King's Comics staff member that no one likes.
It's because he's my nemesis in a friendly way.
He says, best isolation character, what is the best written character to be trapped, shut off, locked up, forever, banished, etc. within a series?
I thought of that. Kitty Pryde, when she gets locked in the bullet in Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run.
That is really, really good.
Thank you.
What about Phantom X getting locked in Professor X's head currently?
Yep.
They're all X-Men characters. Every X-Man is stuck somewhere.
Yeah, it's because it's all about, like, repression and not being allowed to do things.
He also says, how good is the Last Dance documentary?
It was really good. Are you watching it?
No, Angus keeps telling me that I should watch it, but I haven't yet.
You should! If there is anything that's going to get you into basketball,
okay,
it's that. Compelling.
Are you sure it isn't the manga Slam Dunk?
Actually, you know what? You should probably just read Slam Dunk.
Ryan asks, if you could have a dream book announced to pull us out of this slump, what would it be and who would be writing it? I have a book that already exists, Ryan, and it's The Return of Saga. I reckon that would be the most glorious comics are back, motherfuckers, moment that we could possibly get.
Man, I was looking at some pictures of Saga today and I was just like, oh man, I'm so devastated by that last, most recent issue.
Ooh, yeah, I know.
Such, like, an overly emotional read.
You know if anyone's going to do something amazing with that. Like, you know, yeah, it's... Oh, man, I hope it comes back.
It's BKV. Our man BKV. Yeah. I saw the cheeky person underneath that, I can't think of who it was, who said, and can I make a bet that Siobhan's going to pick Grant Morrison? And I was like, ha, 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 very funny. And then I was like, ooh. Ooh. Actually, I would love... I was thinking about... For me, I think more it's artists that I would like to see. If Trad Moore announced a new series, I think I'd be like, ooh, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
And I'm very excited for Chris Samnee's new series.
Yep.
Maybe if Amanda Connors announced that she was doing interiors on something.
Yep, that wasn't Harley Quinn. Agreed.
It wasn't Harley Quinn. Man, my son's gotten really into Power Girl, which is not age appropriate
that
for
is
a
amazing.
2-year-old.
How the hell is a 2-year-old boy into? I mean, the boy part I understand, but how is a 2-year-old?
Yeah. But he wants to be Power Girl.
Oh, that's amazing!
The thing. He runs around in a cape all the time.
Did you cut a boob window in his t-shirts yet?
I figure it's because she looks mad friendly.
Okay. Corey says, "I'm looking to dip my toes into Fantastic Four, but until 2 days ago, I'd never read a Fantastic Four comic. I've just started the Wade/Waringo run. Do you have any recommendations for someone looking to get into Fantastic Four?" Corey, you're already on the right track. Read a few comics. That's a pretty good era to kind of get started in. It's not that great, but it's pretty good. And then just go straight, once you know all the characters and themes, then just go straight into Hickman's Fantastic Four and FF run.
Also, what's that? I'm trying to think of Fantastic Four 1, 2, 3, 4. What was that series? Oh, by Grant Morrison. Fuck, I'm so.
Yeah, it's Grant Morrison.
But that's the one. I hate myself, but I love Grant Morrison. But that's the one with the iconic, like, oh no, Namor, I'm a married woman, I mustn't panel. So you got to read that.
I'm sure if you reread it now, it's probably awful, but I do remember quite enjoying Mark Miller's Fantastic Four run too.
Look, a lot of his early stuff was very good.
Shane asks, what are some recommendations of books about being a being family or being a parent? Look, I know if you know what happened in the last issue of it, you would probably disagree, but I think Saga is an amazing book about being a parent.
It is.
And then this is for me. Did any of these comics lead to making your own kids' book? Well, I'm in my kids' book, which is called Nelson, Pumpkins and Aliens. I'm actually working on the third one. I was doing that just before we recorded today. Pretty exciting. It's about dinosaurs. But I wanted that is like a weird love letter to just comic book insanity that I want to put in my kids' books, because I've so many kids' books that my son reads are just like so dull, and so I wanted it to be my books to be silly, but not in like a lot of Australian writers will be like, oh, and then my bum was on fire, and like, it's like, dude.
I was gonna say, is he real into like Paul Jennings?
But like, I mean, Paul Jennings.
The day my bum went psycho.
When Paul Jennings did it, he's a writer that we would have both grown up with, probably me even more so than you. But when he did it, he was like the first to write this kind of like schoolboy larrikin kind of
gross out
humor. And there's like a level of gross out humor in my books, but like I like comic book silliness, and I want that to be in kids' books. Oliver asks, have you
read? Can I just make a quick plug for Lucy Nisley's autobiocomics about becoming a parent. So Kid Gloves has already been released. That's her one about being pregnant. If you're pregnant, don't read it. But if you are formally pregnant or just interested in pregnancy, I'd recommend it. But it was a terrifying thing to read while pregnant. And she's got ones coming out soon which are about her experience of raising her son. And she's such a... comics are so thoughtful and sensitive and intimate and personal, and I think she's such a genius. So I'd really recommend all of her works, but specifically her books about parenting.
Also, it's not actually a comic, but it's by a cartoonist. Her name is Kate Beaton, and she wrote a kid's book called King Baby, and that is one of the best kids' books on our shelves. It's
one of the best picture books of all time. It's so funny. It continues to hit with all of my children.
Yeah, it's Tilly's favourite book at the moment.
Yeah.
Oliver asks, have you read Superior Spider-Man? And if so, where would you start from?
I have. I read the whole run, I think. I think, you know, I probably stopped reading it a couple of issues before the end. But I would honestly recommend jumping on Big Time when Dan Slott started, because the whole series, I think he's one of the best modern writers of Spider-Man. Probably one of the best writers of Spider-Man, full stop. He has such a love for the character and the universe. And I think he did a really solid job from Big Time through Superior Spider-Man.
I think you got to go a little bit further. You got to go start at the Gauntlet, which is when Dan Slott started alongside Mark Waid, Fred Van Lente, Joe Kelly, Mark Guggenheim, Roger Stern, and Zeb Wells. And it's like, that's my favorite run in the lead up to Dan Slott's run. That's really, really good too. Mm-hmm. So go further back. Just read it all. Big binge.
Nice. Just read every single issue of Spider-Man ever. Come on, man.
He also says, are you going to continue reading JoJo's Bizarre Adventure past part 3 at some point? Yes, I know I should, and I will. There's too much manga. It all sounds
too much manga, guys.
Yeah. Matt Sheehan, I'm thinking about going in on DC Universe this summer? What are some recommendations for some less famous DC runs that are worth a read? Secret Six.
Yeah. Checkmate.
Checkmate. Very good. We already said Gotham Central. We already said 52. That's good. There's four
Birds
good ones.
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. Great. There you go. Matt Jordan says, is there a creator you don't think gets the love they deserve for their contributions to the industry? Tradmore.
Yeah.
Has he contributed much besides amazing art?
Oh, you know what? Actually, Dan DiCarlo. Dan DiCarlo does not get as much attention as he should have for what he brought to the game in terms of, like, just genius cartooning. So he was the main cartoonist for Archie Comics from, like, I think, like, the 50s until, like, the 80s. Don't quote me on that, but for a really heck of a long time. And he was treated quite badly by Archie Comics towards the end of his career in life. And I don't think you get much better than his cartooning in terms of physical comedy and expressiveness and motion, and he sells a joke like no one else, and I really, really highly rate. IDW did these really great big oversized hardcover color collections of some of his strips a couple of years ago. I don't know if you can still get them, but they're on my shelf, and they're so good. They're so good, man. They're still so funny.
I'll say David Latham, who writes Stray Bullets, which I think is like the most underrated comic that I read. An incredibly good and dire crime fiction comic. And he also did a very underrated Batman run as well. A Detective Comics run. Yeah, that's it's called like Silent City or something. That's really, really good. I'm just looking it up now. Detective Comics. It is called City of Crime. Highly recommend it. He's very good. Great artist, great writer. You know what? Do we have to call it, or should we burn through these last five questions?
I've still got time. Up to you.
Okay, let's
fully
go.
Up to you.
Let's go. Jordan says, there have been a lot of major comic runs ending lately, like Jason Aaron's Thor and The Walking Dead. What are some of the most satisfying endings for an extensive run? Both of those
are
pretty
Man?
Satisfying. Yeah, Why the Last Man? That's great. Also,
Pluto.
Oh, yeah, pretty good.
I'm just looking at my shelves.
Bone. Very satisfying.
Bone, yeah.
Philip says, is Jason Aaron's Thor in the top three of Thor runs along with Kirby and Walt? I've read like 10 issues of Walt Simonson's run and probably about the same amount of Kirby, and I respect the history, but like I just can't get into it. It's that overwritten classic era. I know it looks great, I know so many amazing things that I love were introduced in those eras, but they're not in my top three, but Jason Aaron's definitely is.
Yeah, I probably haven't read enough Thor to really make a judgment on that, but it's pretty good, I'd say.
I mean, I love when they kind of modernize Thor with the Thor run written by the dude with the name.
Straczynski?
Yes, that's the one. The dude with the name. J. Michael
Straczynski. That was a pretty good guess.
Well done. I knew you know. I know you like that run too. But
I do.
That's very
good. Most because of the delicious Olivia Coppel art. Lovely.
Yes. Connor asks, what's the closest thing to Siobhan that Siobhan's had to Levins's Mahjong manga moment?
I don't think I've ever gone as intense on anything in my entire life as you've gone on Mahjong manga. But maybe when I got super into romance comics at about the age of 23, and I fell down a really big romance comic hole, and I read like 50 issues of this like Nurse Mary series. Where she just like falls in love with various patients in a way that is very, very ethically not good, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that really compares to the Mahjong madness.
Philip asks, what superhero group comic would you say is the best if you could put your personal preferences aside?
Well, I can't.
Does DC the New Frontier count? I just think it's just like
probably
objectively the best superhero group comic ever.
Yeah.
In terms of art.
In terms
and
of
writing.
Just like which groups are best, I reckon X-Men is the best superhero group.
You can't really argue with that.
And it has probably the most classic runs. I think Avengers are pretty shit.
I knew you'd say
overall.
That. We all know that. We all know you think that.
Teen Titans are good. Justice League's good. Justice Society's great. That's it.
Hugh Binks, last question. Do you think expletives, e.g. swear words, are better censored or uncensored in comics? I'm unsure.
I think that's incredibly contextual.
I am a big fan of like the random assortment of like at symbols and hashtags and exclamation marks that make up
especially
swear words.
Especially because then you can make up your own swears.
That's very good. But then it's either that or you just put the swear word in. I hate it when you have like when Brian Bendis, in every Marvel comic he's ever written, someone calls someone else an ass hat. Like, I hate the fake swearing that they try and do. It's the worst. So that's the objectively worst kind of swearing in comics, the fake swearing.
It is. I'd rather just full-blown swears all the time, please.
Yeah, and more of them.
In my kids' comics, in everything. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, that is a brilliant podcast. It's a brilliant episode of Serious Issues. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being on me, Siobhan. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, anytime.
And we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. If you want to find us online, you can facebook.com/Serious Issues Podcast or join the group, facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast. We have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/Serious Issues Podcast as well. If you feel like chipping in a buck or two, it'll definitely be a nice way of saying thanks for the content. You idiots. We're now on the Sans Pants podcast network. All my podcasts are, so Hey Fam, Serious Issues, The Mitchin, and all the small games. We're all on Sans Pants now, and it feels good
none
to
of
be
us have pants
in the same place. Yeah, that was the clincher why we joined. We hate pants.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye, Siobhan.
Bye.
We're going to take a photo live on the episode. Do a face that...
It's my face all the time. I should have just left
make the face
of
an exhausted mother and go. Perfect. See you next time, everybody.